This podcast was sponsored by me, paid for by me. Listen, I'm working on right now on buying companies, Amazon companies. I love buying companies. It's fun. It's amazing. I love this thing. If you have a brand that you think we might want to buy, go to aaroncordovas.com/valuation for your free business valuation. This is also sponsored by Samurai Seller. It's our ad software, the new Amazon ads automation tool. We just released it. This thing is fantastic. And I'm telling you, I'm sponsoring you to get a free run of our software. Sign up now for a 14-day trial. And I'm telling you, I will guarantee that we will improve your advertising efficiency on Amazon in your first month. If not, you just ask us for your money back. We'll send it to you immediately. I want to save you money. Come on. Go to samuraiseller.com/start.
Getting bestsellers online. Getting a piece of the action. Learn from the top sellers. Become a top seller. E-com leaders. Start now.
Pump up the jam! Come on, Aaron! You're being really strange.
Stop it. Okay, look, here's the deal. People like to get all excited and be like, woohoo, let's start a business, let's do this. Your excitement doesn't bring you any sales. Your excitement in saying pump up the jam, it's going to do nothing for you. Your life will do nothing.
I don't agree with that. It does.
No, it's going to do absolutely nothing.
If you force yourself to smile.
You're going
to
have smile, but no sales.
So no, you definitely can make good things happen. The more positive you are.
You could, but the key word is could. No matter how much you act and jump and be excited and blah, if you don't change your main image, if you don't do anything on Amazon, if you never launch a product and you just, woohoo, I'm popping up the fucking jam, you're still going to have nothing.
I mean, that's true. I'm the fucking queen of that. I'm the product officer that actually kicks everybody's ass. I'm not just about fucking pumping up the jam.
Exactly.
I mean, I am, but at the same time, I'm not. So I have both edges of the sword. I believe you have to be kind of very high in the wavelengths in order to be able to get shit done. And you can't just be in like gloom and doom and hope it's going to go well. The more in
action. What if you dance? You're going to dance? You're going to get
sales?
The
more in action and the more in game, and the more in games you are about your life,
listen,
the better it's going to be.
Great. Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. So we were on a story. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about, like, here's the thing. It's not always fun for me to talk about, like, my major mistakes, like, basically burning, like, $4 million.
It was a good mistake, though. Remember, you even
told me. You want me to do it again?
No, because you told me that it was a good thing that we made that mistake when we did.
Well, I mean,
because if we didn't, then we wouldn't be where we are at today.
I would never have the experience of getting $4 million in the bank and then just burning it.
Can I tell you the one thing? Like, okay.
But hold on. But okay. We should back up. Where did we go? We ended up on... hiring people and
the
everything was going great.
The money was lit on fire. $4 million. Yeah. Gone.
It's crazy. I never seen that much money in a bank account at that time. In one place. So there's actually a crazy program. The Small Business Administration... Do you know that the Small Business Administration, the SBA, in the United States is one of the most amazing things for businesses? Because you can get a crazy amount of money. In most countries, you can't do that.
That's true. It's amazing. It
doesn't exist.
We're
very
fortunate.
You try to borrow money from the government in Venezuela? No way. Are you joking? It's ridiculous. Even in Europe. And you know, in Europe, even getting a mortgage is like almost impossible. Getting money is like
very difficult. Lucky we live in the United States of America.
Yep.
Folks.
Home of the free. Okay, so $4.37 million, I think, was a payout in one go from Amazon, from SBA.
And so he had an incredible strategy that sounded amazing at the time, and everybody was all for it. And I had told him how I didn't think it was a good idea. There's a few times in my life where I actually really try to push my point, and this was one of them. A lot of the times I hold myself back because I feel like he's obviously a genius and he's very amazing. And
I wouldn't say it's very obvious.
No, to me it is. Okay. Ooh. I've met hundreds and hundreds of people in my life.
You've definitely met thousands of people, Whitney. Not just
thousands.
Hundreds.
Okay. I've met millions of people. So, in my lifetime. But anyways, the point is that he's a genius. That's it.
Show's over.
I figured we could cut it right there.
It's done. That's
the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is that he's wrong. But what do we have to lose?
$4 million.
I know, but at the like, listen. If I would have told you way back when we were starting the Amazon business and investing another $5,000 into another fucking maybe fluke, like, remember we had other businesses that we had started and we had put in $2,000 on one of them and another one we put in another, I think it was like
$1,500, whatever.
Okay? Yeah. And if I had stopped him on that Amazon idea, then we wouldn't be here right now. So, okay, I didn't stop him at that time. But on this one about the $4 million of investing into this other brilliant idea that he had, which wasn't so brilliant.
You know what? It was brilliant. So, okay. Hold on. Stop. Let me just give you a big backdrop, okay? This is 2019? This is 2019, right?
Yeah.
2019, middle of 2019, we had staff, we had launches, and every product was just hitting fire. Like, we would launch a product.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
It was, like, selling, like... We'd have I think at that point we launched like maybe like a salad spinner or like a cheese grater or I don't even know what it was, but we would go and it's like the first or like a set of plates. I forget. We launched so much stuff and it was the first day. So like 45 units, the second day, 60 units. And I'm like, we're freaking magic. We can sell anything.
And we weren't even doing like ranking manipulations. We weren't doing
nothing,
any like
nothing
black hat
zero giveaways,
stuff.
Zero launched a product. At like a break-even price. In fact,
we
even above break-even.
We haven't done those things for years.
10% above break-even. Running ads. Day one, 45 sales. Day two, 60 sales. Damn, I could sell anything.
I believe I can launch
the sky. So here's the point. I was at this level. And I said, I'm going to launch everything. And let's just get like leverage upon leverage upon leverage. That was the plan. Because
oh my gosh, it went on first before we got the loan. There was this whole kick about getting payment terms with the suppliers.
Yeah,
so we
cool
were literally
webinar. It was a great webinar. Someone said like, why don't you ask your suppliers to like give you payment terms, like you pay them later. Normally you
pay them 3 months even after it arrived to the United States of America. Okay,
well, not really. I mean,
it was 1 month after. 1 month after, on our best suppliers right. that we had, we literally had the most amazing payment terms where we didn't have to pay for the
zero,
goods until
1 down.
Month after it arrived.
So no money
we,
down.
So that we had a chance to launch the product and make sure that we could pay it back. It so was like really,
really
backwards.
Bad idea. It's the exact idea. In fact, I had studied this thing that said when you basically make a bunch of money, you never want to like put payments into the future because then you're going to kill yourself and basically that was happening. So here was the premise. Every product we launch is selling very well and profitably. So I'm like, you know, the gears are turning and I go, we need to launch all the products we can launch. We can launch everything. I want to launch. Oh, sorry. Let's take it back. Let's go back on how this even started. Let's go
was
back
the
because
dollar store idea?
No, we had a dollar store idea too, but that was something else. The first year we launched, right, the lemon squeezer, the next year we launched four products. They all sold out. They all sold out November. We didn't even make it to Black Friday. We were going to launch it for the holidays, right?
Oh, I remember.
They're all sold out before Black Friday. We didn't even participate in Black Friday because everything sold out. The next year, I want to say we launched, I don't know, five, six products.
And the knife sharpener.
Yeah, exactly. Funny, one of those was a milk frother too.
And I sourced them.
Beautiful. So... Then we did, I think, like six products that year, or four products, whatever, the next year. And I did the calculation at the end of the year or the middle of the year, whatever I did it. And each of those products made $100,000 in sales.
Yeah.
And our revenue went from, what, $800,000 to like $1.5 million or something like that. So $400,000 was new products and then $300,000 was growth of existing products. And I said, why don't we do like one every month, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
Let's do one product every month, 12 products that year. Did the 12 products? And our sales doubled. We're like, ooh, that's amazing. Almost double. It wasn't literally double. It was close to double. And we said, can we do one every week? And that was crazy. People were like, I remember I was at a like masterminds in different
groups.
Oh,
yeah, I remember that.
People were like, how could you launch a product a week? You're crazy. You're this. You're a mad person, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, what are you doing product a week? So we launched. We were going for 52 product launches, and that
one thing I've learned about Aaron: if somebody says that you're crazy for doing something, it just makes him want to do it more, and he actually does it.
So,
and if somebody says not to do it, he'll do it,
right?
Like for sure.
It's true. It's true. So then, 52 products was a goal. We did 75 products, and that year, that year we did like a 3x. The company tripled almost, right? Again, these are all estimations, okay? And I said, one every week is too conservative. It's too boring. I don't want to just launch one product.
Oh my gosh, when he was telling me about wanting... Okay, sorry. When you were telling me about this, I remember going through my mind about personnel, about the amount of people that I would need to hire in order to manage all of these SKUs, okay? I was like... freaking out about it. I was like, Aaron, we can't do that. We cannot do that. How do we physically manage like 2,000 listings?
Well, hold on. Hold on. We're going to get there.
Oh my God.
We're going to get there. Okay. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. One a week was perfect. So we did 75 products and I get, psh, this is child's play. We're going to do one every weekday. One every weekday. 250 whatever products. 260 products. And that year was the biggest year ever. Okay, that was the year of 2019 when everything was going crazy. And again, we're not like, we're making now a bunch of money, but all the money's going back in the business. We're not like rolling in a bunch of dough.
That anyway, is correct.
The money's going to new products. So that year we did like 270 products and the company had a massive growth, huge. And I said, that's it. Double down, baby. And instead of two products a day, let's do five products.
You said two every products day. A week.
Five products every day.
Oh my gosh.
Every weekday. So it'll be like 1,200 products, right? And so this is just, it was just insanity. And so to in order to do that amount of products, and I said, listen, I just do the math. You're like, math. Oh my God, I'll be like, we'll make like $50 million this year, right? That was like my, like, anyway, so that was my thought process. But it didn't work because what would happen is we would have the launch, but that launch, the cash, you don't have money in your bank when you do a launch. If you do a product and it does very well, you don't have money. You've lost money. That made profit, like your profit and loss statement, Samurai Seller, etc., will show you profit. But your bank account has money out still because we had did the initial order. Now we paid back that initial stuff and had a little more, but now we need to order more product. Anyway, you guys understand. If you guys are Amazon sellers, you understand you have more inventory than you have cash and you made profit, but your bank account is empty. Okay?
Yes.
If you have a feeling where you literally feel like, oh, I made so much profit and your bank is totally empty, you probably saw on Amazon. But you're building something of value and someday in the future, you have a bunch of money. Okay. So here's what occurred. We negotiated with the suppliers. Again, 75 days we did the deal and all of us almost, I mean, 80% of our suppliers agreed to this. Zero money down is a horrible idea because what's going to happen in the future, you're going to hit with these big bills and like it became a nightmare at some point. Nightmare. Anyway, 75 days later, 100% payment. So we would do it. Now we're launching all these products. They're doing well, but here's what happened. We're on like product number 500 or 600 because I'm going to do like 2,000 products or 1,200 products or whatever crazy amount of products that year, okay? 1,500. It was crazy, some amount. Five products every day. Here's what happened, guys. And this reminds me about a book called The Psychology of Money. The Psychology of Money. If we would have got that earlier, I don't know, I probably wouldn't have understood it. But reading it later, I understood what this book says would have saved my ass.
But that book... was after.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Really I never read after. I hadn't read it.
But anyway, it made me think so the about point it. Is that we had this loan.
What's in the loan? Not even the loan. Hold on. Before the loan, forget the loan.
We had the loan stop. You did the payment terms. Both of them together. Okay, it was both of them.
The payment terms started in the summertime.
Yes, and then you got the loan about 5 months, 6 months later.
Yeah, the loan was like in December.
And it was about $4.3 million.
$3 million.
Yeah. Okay. And literally, that was gone. The money was gone.
But hold on. But how did it get gone? So here's
because you spent it on all these products.
So this is what occurred. So we had a person in charge of international products, and they spent like $1 million.
Fucking fucked situation.
We spent like $1 million on products that were not even sold. I basically said like just order everything for international, and we did horrible stuff. Like Mexico, you cannot ship wooden products to Mexico. You know what happened? They will put it in the garbage because you can't import
anyways,
wood into Mexico.
Part of the problem stupid was things that, like that the research wasn't done, and the order Aaron gave was get everything into international Amazon, and it was executed in an extremely robotic manner, and the person didn't do sufficient research to find out what product would actually sell successfully in those countries based on the market research of that country. So obviously that's also our responsibility, because we should have known what was happening and what the person was doing. But anyways, that was kind of...
Yeah, so $1 million gone. We used $1 million, and then we bought another, like, $2 million of product, okay, for U.S., okay? And $2 million...
We used $1 million? What do you mean we used $1 million?
Like, between... not in business.
Yeah, we did like donations.
We did donations. We bought a house. We bought a car. Mm-hmm. No?
No, we already
What about your Range Rover?
House.
No?
Yeah, the Range Rover was the one thing, and we didn't even pay cash for that. We literally put it on a lease. Okay, Aaron? Don't fucking tell me that
it was
$1 million was my fucking Range Rover, dude.
Actually, hold on. Let me just tell you. You know, you got the Range Rover.
I got the Range Rover because you wouldn't listen to me when I told you no on the new products. And that was, I said, fine. If you're not going to fucking listen to me, then you're going to get me a fucking Range Rover. And that's what you're going to do.
You know what actually happened? Is,
that is what happened.
No. We lost $4 million on products and whatever. And
no, it did not happen. You didn't lose the money first.
Yes, 100%.
No.
And you said, if you could spend $4 million, I could buy my Range Rover. And then you went and bought it.
Yeah, but we hadn't lost the money yet.
We used it. We didn't think it was like burned on fire, but correct. It was
at that time, you still thought it was a great idea.
Of course.
Yes. And I was like, listen, you keep telling me we're sacrificing now for a more beautiful future, and we have all this fucking money. We have all this money, and I can't even get a stupid Range Rover that's literally $120,000. But at the same time,
$156,000.
No, mine was not.
Oh yes, it was.
No, I didn't even get the one that has the red interior. That was the one that was that much.
Here's $156,000. I'll take this shit out right now. I'll take out the loan right now. I promise you it's
$156,000. What the fuck ever?
It's okay. Okay. It's not a problem.
So the point is that we were making hypothetically millions of dollars. And
in sales.
And our mortgage was about $2,300 a month. Okay?
That's very true.
We were living extremely well below our means. And even to this day, we still do that.
For sure.
But the point is that you spent all that money, and I was disagreeing, and you weren't listening to me, and I said, fine, if you're going to just go spend it like it's nothing, I'm going to go fucking get my Range Rover. And that's what happened.
That's a good way of remembering and embellishing the past.
Okay, good. Well, that's my...
No, it's perfect. It's beautiful. No, it's perfect.
That's my reality.
Yeah, it's perfect. That's wonderful.
Okay.
Yep. So, but the point is this. It's no problem. You know, I have no problem. I love to buy inventory, of course. That's no problem. You get your Range Rover. So it's all good. There's no hard feelings.
That was 3 years ago, yes.
It's all good. Uh-huh. It's all good. Okay so you got worked up on that one, Whitney.
Because I was so pissed off that you spent the $4 million on those stuff that
was
just
wasted. What did you want me to spend it on?
I would have rathered us not used it and wasted it all. But anyways, and also I have to say the other thing is I had to fucking mop up the mess also. So
Let's talk about it.
Basically... Because we ended up with literally hundreds of thousands of dollars every single month in storage fees alone. Remember?
Yeah, but hold on. But first, we didn't even tell people what we bought.
Okay, you want to tell them?
Yes.
Fucking toilet drain? Drano snakes?
Yes, we got like Drano snake. We got like a what do you even call those? Drain snakes. It was like a drain snake. That was kind of the dollar store idea. How do you source 1,400 products, right, in a year? You got to do a bunch of random stuff. We did like furniture corners. We did like butterfly stickers. We did like random lamps. We just did everything. Again, the idea of brand and this just fell out of my mind. I was like on this sort of
high.
On a high
You're
of
on
like
a high.
On a cloud nine on like we can launch anything. We're the most magnificent launching people. We'll take the number one item in all of kitchen. We'll take the number one item in all of home. We'll take the number one item in all of sports. And we'll sell it. And we're going to do a great job because we're invincible. And that's how I felt. And this is what occurred, though. These products were even selling well. You know, it wasn't that it was a bad idea. Let me tell you what occurred. Back to the psychology of money thing I was talking about. Something unexpected happened. Right? Because we had leverage. We had money leverage and we had supplier leverage. And all the launches were still doing well. Everything was selling. This is now we're in the heat of COVID. Everything is selling. Everyone's buying things. But Amazon now pulled the rug on us because they... were out of fulfillment space. So many more people were going to e-commerce. They weren't ready for the craziness that was occurring, and they put a new rule in. And that rule was any product going to Amazon, any ASIN, you could only send 200 units. And again, this rule has since been abolished, and it's no longer being done. But right in the heat of COVID, like we're talking about February 2020, right? When all these products were hitting, we spent like all this money. All products are starting to arrive now. And Amazon says, no, you can no longer send in 3,000 units, because we would send in the 3,000 and we start selling 50, 60, 70, 80, and it would sell out and make profit. Now what occurs, we couldn't ship it right to Amazon. They said, you can't ship to Amazon. You better store it in your warehouse. We're not even ready for that. We're shipping everything to Amazon directly. So now we have to find this warehouse that's going to store our stuff. The cost went up exponentially because now we have to store everything in a warehouse. Then we have to sticker
also
it.
Also, the container prices were going up.
And the container prices were going up drastically from like $3,000 to $20,000. $3,000 to $20,000 of container prices.
That's crazy.
But the worst thing of all was that we'd have to send in 200 units of our product. So we'd have like the drain snake. We'd send in the drain stick or whatever any other product. We'd send the 200 units. It would sell like 100 units the first day.
What about those butterfly stickers?
Listen, hold on.
Oh, my gosh.
No. 50 units day one, 100 units day two, 50 units day three because it's out of stock. And then we're like, oh, we want to send this thing again to Amazon. Can we send in like 1,000? Amazon would say, no, you can send in 150. What? I'm like, hold on. I just sent in 200. I sold out in 3 days. And I can send in 150? Or I can send in 200? What is going on? Now, what occurs, your algorithm checks your average velocity for the last 30 days. So it was flawed. It was a flawed algorithm just for that moment. And so now we would send in 200 and then send in 200 and then send 150. And then, oops, now we can send in 250. And all those shipments, that profit of that order was gone. And now it's negative. We can't rank. We lose the sales velocity. We cannot sell. So all these products and the way we were going to do these products and make them make money was that first order would make up the cash. But now with all the shipments to Amazon, each shipment to Amazon is like $300,
draining,
$500.
Draining all the money.
And it's done. So each product, instead of making money, all retracted. And all those were losses. We had like 80% was a loss of those products. Only 20% was making profit after all those new changes where we have additional costs of logistics, additional costs for containers, additional costs for another shipment, another shipment, another shipment. Then we lose the ranking. We go back to the bottom of the page one. Then we have to put all the ads again. Then we got to put...
It was a disaster.
And worst of all, Whitney, worst of all.
What?
There was no grid to even know what payments were coming when. So around this time, we thought, okay, the suppliers, we have so much money. We'll pay everything. We just have money to pay. But then slowly it's like, wait, we don't have money to pay. Where did the $4 million go? What happened? Like, what? Where did the money go? And we don't know what supplier payment is coming when. There's no grid.
There is no tracking system.
Zero idea of what payments were due when. And so we did this crazy grid, and we put the payments, and we started doing that months later.
We got into some pretty hairy situations.
That summer, I put on credit cards. We did credit card advances to get cash to put into the company to pay the payroll. Like, our account was negative $8,000. Like.
Even think people know that, but yes, we did that.
Negative, like literally, I took which card could I take cash advance, and we're literally taking all of our personal everything. All we have $0. We have absolutely zero money, no money at all. At one point, we borrowed like $100,000 from a friend to pay, you know, to base himself $150,000, $115,000, and like
I think
without
we did that,
that
more than once.
Really?
Yeah, we did.
Twice.
Yeah.
Okay, we did it twice. I don't remember, but that's we have good friends.
We do. We're very lucky.
And but of course, that wouldn't occur before. Now that we can pay it back, our business is pretty large at that point. You know, tens of millions of dollars, and the account is totally empty, literally overdrafted, taking personal money from credit cards into cash to be able to pay it. So that occurred, and the problem was the prediction, the thinking of what payment is due when was totally foreign. It didn't happen, and so. We have this grid, this cash flow grid.
This was just 2 years ago.
Yeah. 2020. Yeah. Yeah. Almost three years ago now. Yeah. And so this was a key change for our company because before then, it's like there's always enough money to pay for whatever order. It just kind of happened because we're not taking any money out for ourselves. So with all the profit of the company and all the stuff, there should be money in the bank to pay. So we didn't have to think about it until we pushed the envelope so hard. And the shipments and all the other stuff that happened, now we have to know what money is coming when. And wow, I didn't even know that was important. And I know people now who are big sellers that don't do that. So in fact, what I want to do this add-on for a long time, so I'm going to put the plug in right here.
Yeah.
aaroncordovez.com/cashflow. And if you opt in there, we're going to get you a cash flow grid. Okay. Not the same exact one we use, but it's going to be blank. aaroncordovez.com/cashflow. And it's going to show you the grid that we use to keep track and put every supplier payment, every payment that's coming each period, all the time. And it keeps track for the 2 weeks of the payouts for Amazon. Without that, Whitney, and somebody made that grid, we didn't create it. Like, that saved their ass, yes or no?
Yeah, for sure. That's... It did. We were, that was definitely intense.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anyway, so we got out of that.
And then we went to the, we went back to the Cardone, which thing did we go to? It was a Cardone training that we did.
What do you want to talk about that?
Because the Psychology of Money book that you mentioned.
Oh, yeah, that occurred there. That's true.
So.
That's true. You know what's funny? Hold on. Can I tell you what was really funny? We didn't talk about this. We had our year-end celebration for the biggest year ever. And that's when... Why did I feel like this was in the summertime? Did this happen twice? Because I remember we were at the party. Mm-hmm. Like, we were at this big party in Orlando. The whole staff, everybody was there. And I remember...
With the bowling alley?
Yeah. We rented out this amazing place. And we had the most sales ever. And we couldn't pay things. And we were finding out, like, when the money's coming... And we were finding out on this trip, on like this, like, woo, stress-free, happy, everyone's happy, we're making so much sales. We're finding out that we're going to be really broke soon.
Yeah.
Was that 2020 earlier, or was that 2021?
I don't know. I think it was the 2021.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, it's kind of stressful times. Stressful stuff. But is it worth it, Whitney?
Of course. Yeah, life is a game. I mean, you live and you learn and you get better, and every single time we do it better and better.
Yep.
Nobody's perfect. If everybody was perfect and every single person had it all figured out and it was easy, then we would have a lot more people doing this.
Yep.
And
you know, people, I think people don't understand that, like, the reason to roll this business, if you're doing it just for yourself, if you're going to live your life to, like, I want to get a Lamborghini and do this, I would never go through all this for a Lamborghini. This is like it's the only reason we're doing this, because there's a responsibility to, like, we have to do something productive and successful and keep this, like, keep jobs going and keep, like, productivity and do something for the society and, like, be able to do donations or be able to make an impact or be able to be known or be able, like, make an example.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not for us. The business is not, like, for me. Listen, if it was for me and my life was all about me, I'd be at home and I'd be on freaking video games, like, 16 hours a day.
True.
Listen, it's way more fun to play fucking World of Warcraft or whoever. I mean, I don't know, any game. Monopoly. We played Monopoly yesterday with Luna. So, like, it's not about, if it was just for one person, this is way too much stress and too much intensity to have this big business. So people talk about that all the time. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to have employees. It's too hard. Okay, of course. Because if you're just, again, do you agree with this?
Sure, yeah. Totally.
Why do you do the whole business and, like, push all this and put up all this craziness?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's more because I want to be able to have an impact on society. At this point, it's no longer just thinking about myself and my family and the kids and you, and because we're now past that. And what has driven me actually from the beginning was the same thing, that we have the similar goals. That's why we even got married.
There you go.
We have similar goals and purposes. Yeah. And one of them is to impact society, to hopefully have a dent in human trafficking, no longer having human trafficking, children trafficking. There's all this stuff, this shit is still happening. Even though it's not talked about on the news, it's still happening. There's still kidnapping. There's still organ harvesting. There's all this shit, this crap, you know, which nobody ever wants to talk about because it's, like, not that exciting and not that fun and not that happy. But if you actually look at it, our world isn't, like, a beautiful place, and people make it seem that way all over social media with the amazing cars and the houses and the Botox and the boob jobs and the nose jobs and the butt jobs.
You don't need a boob job, Whitney. You literally did not. You were gifted. You were given a gift.
Anyways, I'm just saying, like, these are all just shiny objects distracting everybody from the real situations that we have in the world.
It's distracted me. They've distracted me many times. So here's the deal. Okay, this is what I want to say. If
so
it was
that's
free-
what drives me. That's what drives me is like not all those shiny objects, really. Like those are all very nice things to have. And I do have some nice things. And those I get myself nice things as a reward, quote unquote, for my monetary contributions that I've done. Like, for instance, I did a very large donation and I got myself a beautiful ring. Okay. So it's just everybody's different, but I definitely want to make an impact in the world. And I know that you do too. And we want to set a very good example for our children. And, while we're doing that, it's amazing that we're able to give people amazing experiences in the kitchen. My life has been impacted by our kitchen gadgets. I love our garlic press. It's like I tested probably 50 different garlic presses before we did that one.
It's very true.
And I love this garlic press that we have. I love our lemon squeezer. I love the milk frother. And it's great. And I love making people's lives easier in the kitchen.
Yep. And again, if it was just for us, we've long passed the time where the money we make affects our personal life. Like it's we're done. The Range Rover, you get how many Range Rovers can you get? You know what I mean? Like what how many rings and how many watches are you going to get? Like I don't even have a watch on.
Literally I looked, I'm not saying it's bad. I have looked at a Bentley or what is it called? Was it a Bentley?
The Rolls-Royce.
But you know it's like almost $1 million or how much is it? 250?
Like for like 400.
400? Okay. Whatever the amount is, 400,000. I was like, gosh, you know, that's a lot of money for a car. Would I want to buy the car or do I rather donate? And that's where it goes down to.
It just feels so intense. Like, God.
Jeez, for a piece of a car.
Have you seen like online like these guys? Like,
is it going to really change my feeling in my life, that car? That $400,000?
It might. You might really like it. I don't know. Look at that car in the interior. Like, whoa, yellow and this. And, ooh, what's that? And, oh, ooh, luxurious. I mean, I don't know. You could get the car if you want, obviously.
One day, maybe, when I feel like I can, it's not a big deal. For me, still, I feel like, whoa, I wouldn't do that. But anyways.
She was just talking about the Range Rover. And then look how much it switched for, like, a little bit. Yeah. Not for a little bit, but, like, anyway.
What?
It's fine. It's all good. Don't worry about it. It's all good. So, okay.
What were you saying, Aaron?
I didn't say a single thing.
Okay.
So, moving on. So, at the end of the day, we had to... Here's something that's interesting about China. Because in China, just how... If somebody does something really messed up in China, in the U.S. market, like an Amazon, they're not held liable. Because we cannot sue people in China. But likewise, people in China cannot sue you. So, we had payments that were coming due. But they're not going to hurt our credit here in the U.S. They're not going to do all these other things. So we had to basically do like a bit of a triage of like, we can't pay all the payments. And we would tell people, hey, we're going to pay you when we sell this product. This happened with Amazon. And most of these guys were very, very cool with it. I would say 90% of the suppliers we were with were like very understanding. And we've paid off now 98% of all those orders, right? Maybe there's a few orders that were bad. I don't know all the exact details. But
I think there was a point when we were, how much was it? Like about 15... Like
we owed, I think, $10 million.
$10 million.
I think we owed $10 million to people overseas.
That we literally $10 million. $10 million that we owed to different suppliers in China. It was.
I had no idea that we even incurred that amount of money. Like, what? When did that happen? We got $5 million of to spend money, or 4.3 or 3.3 or whatever it was that we actually spent on products, and then from that with deposits and this, boom, we owed. And I think honestly, it was like $11.5 million, maybe even 12. Mm-hmm. Owed, definitely at least $11 million owed.
The reason why I was saying $15 million that we owed is because we had the $4.7 million of or the 4.3 of the loan.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, over $15 million. That's true.
Plus the money that we owed to the China Chinese suppliers that we had. Yeah.
So then we did what was called the Project Phoenix.
Yep.
Project Phoenix was to revive from the dead. We were dead in ashes and totally dead. And it's like, how are we going to revive ourselves out of this horrible situation of owing so much money, way more money than we have in the bank, way more, like, oh, crazy,
spending so much money on storage fees.
Oh, yeah, storage. Yeah, storage fees. What was it? It wasn't hundreds of dollars, but it was like $140,000 a month, I think it was, in storage.
At the height, it was.
$200,000?
When I was talking to wholesale and liquidate our product, yes. I remember every single month because I was like, wow, we're literally throwing this fucking money away. Mm-hmm. Just paying for shit that's sitting in warehouses that we're not even selling.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that's what happened to like these big like Thrasio and all these big companies. They imagine this problem, but multiplied by 20, right? And that's what these guys had. Like,
literally. Anyways, and they obviously didn't have an Aaron, and they didn't have a Whitney. That also their personal lives were like their, our company and our the people that work in the company, everybody's livelihood was on the line. We had to make it like we had to push through, and we had it wasn't an option just to give up. Everybody was like fucking putting their heart.
Project Phoenix.
It.
Heart and soul into Project Phoenix. And we were going, we would talk to suppliers and this day were going to happen. And then how can we maybe repackage some or cancel some orders? We lost probably a few $100,000 of canceling orders. Like, yeah. We had put a deposit and we said, like, well, that's it. Keep the deposit because we're not going to ship it. And then it's fine. That's gone. And in some cases, whatever. So, like, that did occur, right? But that's why the deposit does exist. You know, we didn't have all 0%. Some people did, like, only deposits. So not everybody got payment terms, right?
I'm also super, super, super grateful for a contact that we got from TJ Maxx, a buyer in TJ Maxx that was actually a customer of ours. She had written into us 2 years, probably now at this point 4 years ago, and she was very impressed with our milk frother and our customer service that we had. And she was like, here's my number. Please give it to the owners. I'm a buyer in TJ Maxx. I would love to work with you guys and get you into our stores. So then I started the relationship. It took about 2 years of speaking with her and sending her samples. And for one reason or another, we didn't just like connect right away. But I had been sending her samples maybe once every six months. And then basically, when Project Phoenix happened, I just messaged her one day and I was like, hey, what do you think about doing a test order now? Is this a good time? And then she all of a sudden was like, yes, let's do it. And that was the first order that we got with them. It was like around $2,000 or $3,000 worth of product. But then within about...
It sold well and whatnot.
And then she did like a reorders and massive reorders. I don't know if I can say the exact amounts, but... Like,
we sold a good amount to TJ Maxx, especially like liquidation. We're able to take that number down.
Yes, over time. Which was extremely helpful for sure.
And what's really cool is that a lot of the products sold very, very, very well. But we also sold to them, let's say, a lot of stuff at like break even. So like if it cost us $4, we sold it to them at $4, and they're like,
or even less. Even
like,
less.
It cost
like,
us four,
like,
and we sold $3.75
like
or $3.60 or something.
At this point, when we were just trying to get the product out of the warehouses because it was liquidation. So we took losses.
A lot of
products. For sure.
A lot of products
but the
losses.
Point was is that we needed to get it out of the warehouse and stop paying storage fees on everything.
And so what happened, they're like,
our initial investment, at least some of it.
Yeah, they came back and they're like, this item sells really well. Can we buy order? We could buy so many more of it. And we're like,
We need to
increase the price if we're going to sell it. I said, no, we need to have that same price. And we're like,
unfortunately, we couldn't.
We can't replenish your stock because that's less than our break even. They're like, oh, okay. So anyway,
unfortunately,
whatever.
I would have loved to. I know, but I would have loved to be able to continue the product. Some of them, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
And it's they're amazing. We love TJ Maxx. We love Amazon. Those are our two favorite stores.
It's true.
Okay, so then going forward, now we have a cash flow grid.
Yeah.
Now we removed all payment terms. We basically pay deposits on everything. We try to pay as much money up front. Like I you know, it might be smart to do this and do other stuff, but. We're paying big deposits, at least a 30%, but sometimes 50%. Sometimes we're trying to negotiate up front. We pay everything up front and get a bit of a discount on the order. Like, it's just better business because you don't get caught up in, like, craziness. Maybe you're going to grow a little bit less, but you have a chance of not dying and not having your entire company to go to crap because you over-leverage yourself in all these places, right? So, I don't know. We went forward, and the last years have been pretty good. What happened after that? We recuperated. And then we had like a slow year, right? We grew, I don't know, a little bit over 10% or 15% or whatever it was.
More conservative.
You know?
Yeah.
Which in a lot of cases, like a 15% or 20%, whatever the percentage was, is considered like hyper growth.
Right.
20% hyper growth. This is like corporate standards. If you grow 20%, it's hyper growth. For us, it's like 20% is like, wow, that's one of our worst years of the entirety of the time.
So there's two books that I want everybody to read. One is Psychology of Money, and the other one is Profit First. And then
Profit First. You haven't even read that book, Whitney.
Yeah.
No, you haven't.
You told me. You told me all
about
it.
I told her about the book, and then she's telling you to read
Aaron,
it.
Aaron, you know what?
She didn't read the book. You didn't even read the book.
Face in front of everybody who's listening right now. But we're Prophet cutting
first,
that out.
No, we're not cutting it out. Absolutely not cutting it out. Prophet first. Don't read that book.
Aaron, you told me all about it and how amazing it was, and it helped us so much. And that's you said it even changed your mindset about how you're taking money out of the company and you have to pay yourself, because before I'll tell them the concept exactly what you told me, and the reason why I think the fucking book is amazing, because before this you literally would never even fucking take any money out of the fucking company. Every single thing was going right back into the business. Every single thing except
the Range Rover,
except for $8,000 a month, which was even less than your salary.
No, we were taking more than 8,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe 10.
Yeah.
10. Okay? 10. So the first 4 years of its life.
I forget.
No. The first numbers. 3 years, we didn't take anything.
Two years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Everything was reinvested. First 2 years.
But tell them about Prophet first. Go ahead. Basically pay yourself.
You're basically just trying to have egg on my face.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to move forward. I'm moving forward. Okay. So the book Prophet First, the idea is, listen, make it worth it for you.
Do you want me to look bad in front of everybody or something?
You can't look bad, no matter how hard you try.
Oh my God, Aaron, please stop.
Okay, so here's the thing. In Prophet First, the idea is that pay yourself, right? And in a way it makes sense, in a way it doesn't make sense. Like the book, it's a good book in some cases, but like for the first 2 years, we never paid ourselves because we had to put money into the company and then we paid ourselves more later. So, like, I don't know if I always agree with it, but the idea is, like, make it worth it for
So don't read the book, actually. Never mind.
Okay, good.
That's the point.
Okay, good. You can read it if you want to. Okay, good. Moving forward. So
the other thing I wanted to say was at the very beginning, like, when we were trying out all these different companies and businesses, there was a book that Aaron was listening to called Be Obsessed or Be Average, right?
Yeah. 10x rule
and the 10x rule
and Seller Be Sold, all of the books. I read like every single one of Grant's books
on Grant repeat. Books.
Yeah, the way it's a 1 hour commute. You got to take the thing. It's either driving or the subway, and it's like, why not like inject that thing into your veins?
Right.
Yes.
So that was what we started with at the beginning, and he was always pushing me to read them too. So.
And you didn't until later.
Yeah,
until
later.
But then after after she read Be Obsessed or Be Average, she literally said, everybody in the company is reading this book, mandatory, this. And she got everybody to read it. So for years, she's like, I'm not going to read it. I don't want to listen to Grant, this and that. Da, da, da. She read it, and then she's like, everyone in the company needs to read this book, Be Obsessed or Be Average. And if you didn't read this book in three weeks, you're going to be fired. You need to read it. This is after like 2 years. No, what?
I didn't say.
You didn't
say. I did not tell people that. I told you.
You told me. She told me that. She said, I'm going to tell them all to read it. And if they don't read it, I'm going to fire them. But
I don't think you should be telling this in
broadcast. Nobody got fired. Nobody got fired. So it's okay. So it's all good. We can broadcast it.
Okay. Anyways, to me, it was an indicator. If a person couldn't read the book, even if a person didn't want to read the book, they didn't read the book. It was an indicator of, okay, they literally could use their work time to read it. And if I'm asking them to read the book, then read the fucking book. It's not like I'm telling you to drink poop or something.
Yeah, that'd be weird. That'd be really bad. Yeah, drinking poop. 2021 was pretty good. Mm-hmm. 2022 was pretty good. Mm-hmm. We didn't go into any crazy things in that time, did we?
No.
We kind of just kept it rolling, coasting. For a while. You kind of wait when everything's going like kind of well. You're kind of waiting, like, what the hell's gonna happen here? I don't know. Do you feel that way?
No.
No, I feel that sometimes. Like, is anything gonna happen? But anyway, it's fine. We'll move on. So, what's the plans now? What are you excited about these days?
Well, I'm excited that we're working more on making our current existing operation, like the company, more efficient, and codifying things now. So Aaron and I were about to sit down and write the outline for his course.
My book. I am more than halfway done with the book.
And he is in the middle
of
this.
It's a fantastic book. Because it is, yes, now it's codifying. It is, how do we launch? How do we do this? And I'm running through, listen, our operation
there are major kinks. There are actually major problems.
There's problems.
And even with those problems and even with our company not being 100% in an idealistic situation.
We're doing pretty good.
We're still doing, I would say, pretty good. Yeah. And it's actually impressive to me that even with these alterations in the production line, they're still very productive.
You can make millions of dollars with a lot of mistakes. You can make a lot of mistakes.
Aaron is, I would say, kind of notorious for listing teardowns. He gets called by different mastermind groups to do listing teardowns.
That's true.
People love his listing teardowns. And what I have to say is, like, if he was to do that on our own listings, he would find so much shit. It's not even funny. Like, we have our own listings, and we have issues with our listings that if he did those teardowns on our own listings, they would be appalling. So I'm just mentioning that because even with our listings and the way that they are, even as disgusting and not optimized as they are, they don't have dildos and shit like he was saying. But those are just attacks that have happened in the past. But the point is that even with those listings not fully optimized, they're still producing. And that is what is the most amazing thing to me. So there is so much potential that we have existing with our existing products that it's not even funny. Not including the new sourcing, the new products coming in through sourcing. So it's actually very, very exciting. And I can totally see that we're going to take this company and we're going to make it into a billion-dollar company. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, good. So
that's I do see that the systematizing and the training is imperative. Like, because this is where we need to be a lot more fine-tuning of every single piece and part of the company.
I agree. That's what we're working on. We can always improve. We can always figure out how to transfer that stuff to all the people in the company. But the thing that we are going to benefit now is that I'm doing this company training. There is some internal stuff that we're not sharing, but a lot of it we are actually opening it up and will be on email, and it's going to get in when you subscribe to the email list and all that other stuff, and stay on the podcast, and we'll talk and we'll have more chats. So it's great. That's a good. That's just a quick. That's kind of the recap of the story. Did we miss any major parts? I don't think so. We got a good chunk of it. So at least like three times almost going bankrupt, starting with $4,000.
But I do want everybody to know that this is not unnormal. Like,
what's not normal?
It's not unnormal.
Oh, it is normal.
It is normal. It is normal for companies like that. You're bootstrapping it. You're starting it yourself. Like, you have to be ready to basically hit the pavement and get back up and keep going. And I'm sure that, like, we have met many business owners at this point. We've been doing this now for 8 years. So we've gone to mastermind groups. We've met a lot of business owners, and we are definitely not the only ones that have had these kind of problems. So
yeah, and in fact, a lot of people hit these and they're done.
Yeah.
I mean, I can name several right now that got into a problem and they did not come out of it and then give up and like just.
So the point is that you have to have persistence
all the time, actually. All the time.
Persistence on a given course. Like, that is such an important point, and not giving up and continuing to push and debug the production flows and then keep going forward and not stopping and not giving up. If you have some adversity or some suppression or somebody saying that you shouldn't do it, don't listen. You just keep going and you flourish and you prosper and you keep going and don't stop, because you have it in you. Everybody does. Every single person is actually amazing and can do this. Like, zero doubt.
Nice. All right, guys.
Thank you.